Back on 95.7 The Game, every Monday we talk to the quarterback of the Silver and Black, coming off another emotional and dramatic win. Derek Carr joins us. And Derek, where do you want to start here? I mean, one of the greatest comebacks in regular season Raider history. But we always begin with the opponent. How much respect did you have for the Buffalo Bills, especially in the first quarter where LeSean McCoy, Tyrod Taylor, they were lights out?
Man, yeah, you're not lying. You see, you know why Tyrod was a Pro Bowl quarterback last year. You see why LeSean McCoy is one of, you know, the best running backs in this league. You know, he's doing things out there that are, you know, that's making people on our sideline go, oh, wow. You know, like, you hear the little comments going on, it's ridiculous, man, the way that he's able to play the game. So, I mean, you see, you know, how good they are, you see how talented they are, and then let alone their defense, you know, they have talent. I mean, me and Rodney were talking after the game, how talented their defense was, and, you know, obviously their scheme, you know, with the Ryan brothers, you know, they do a great job with them.
All right, walk us through pregame and the decision with the equipment staff and the coaches and yourself, the trainers on the pinky, and how you wanted to stabilize it going into the game.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to do the safest thing, the most, you know, precautionary thing. But at the same time, I wanted to do something that was, going to be more natural for me. You know, I didn't really, you know, I liked putting the glove on last week because of obvious reasons, you know, I had to. And, you know, this week was, you know, if I can, you know, kind of deal with it and just kind of, you know, get over, you know, some of the stuff, then I just wanted to throw naturally. So they felt good about it. I felt good about it. And, you know, that's just what we went with.
So you were happy being in the shotgun more? That helped out not only the finger, but with the game plan. Did it work or hinder you in the game plan initially against Buffalo?
Yeah, I thought we were still able to run the ball. I thought our play action series was still open. And so, you know, I love it. You know, obviously I spent my whole, you know, last 2 years in the shotgun, you know, so I was back home back there. So, I don't mind it at all. Usually you worry about it. You know, is it going to affect the play actions? Is it going to affect the run game? And I don't think it did at all.
All right, when did you get concerned about the tempo? I want to talk about tempo today in this game, because not finding a rhythm in the first half, was it halftime adjustments? Was it just getting in the face of your teammates again the way you like to do in a respectful way? When did everybody start to click and wake up and get the tempo going again? Talk us through halftime and the adjustments.
Yeah. So we definitely knew that going into the game, you know, the tempo thing was something that we really liked, something that we wanted to, you know, use and establish in the game at some point. We just didn't know when. And, you know, I think Coach Musgrave did a great job of, you know, relaying to me in the headset to push the tempo on them, get after them and go after them. And, you know, obviously we were able to do that. You know, we were able to keep them on their, you know, on their heels, you know, a little bit, trying to make calls. I think I got a free completion into Crabtree on one because they weren't even lined up, you know, on one of them. So, you know, it was just like routes on air kind of deal. So it's something that we can use to our advantage. It's something, you know, that we have in our toolbox, but, you know, we don't have to use it every time, but when we do, you know, we've been pretty good with it.
Derek Carr is our guest. I thought what was interesting, after they scored to go up 24-9, the Coliseum didn't go to a hush quiet, but you could tell there was a sense of urgency. So let's begin on these 29 unanswered points and the fact that you were in the shotgun, as we talked about. You were going to start attacking downfield. The Crabtree touchdown, Latavius, Amari. When that all started coming together, you had the tempo back. It was explosive downfield. What did you see when you went four wide? And what was the big adjustment in the second half? Because Buffalo seemed to have you guys pinched in. They had the perfect defensive game plan in the first half. How were you able to expose it midway through the third quarter and on?
You know, in the first half, we felt that, you know, we had obviously 9 points, but we felt that very easily we could have had, you know, 17, 20, 21 points. You know, that's just, you know, the way the game was going for us. Is, you know, we were making mistakes. We weren't, you know, clicking like we usually do. We had too many penalties, you know, that brought big plays back and things like that. So we still believed and knew that we could move the ball. We were moving the ball. We just were settling for field goals. So we knew it would just be big to us to, you know, make sure that we finished with touchdowns. So really our mindset was the same, but we just knew that, hey, when we get down there, man, we gotta punch it in. So I think that that's really where, you know, I think we, you know, made the biggest difference was in the red zone, you know, and, you know, obviously Coop's big play helped, but I think in the red zone was where we really made the biggest stride on offense in the second half.
Derek Carr is our guest. What did you sense from the crowd and your teammates once this comeback began?
Oh, it completely flipped. When the crowd, you know, is behind us, when the crowd is rocking, it makes it extremely difficult for, you know, opposing you know, offenses, and it makes it, you know, it puts a little pressure on the defense too, you know, on their defense, because, you know, if we hit a big play or we get a big run, you know, our crowd goes crazy. That, you know, that's a little stressful as well. So I thought our crowd was amazing. And like you said, it was never dead silent, but you could tell there was a sense of urgency. So they were just waiting and expecting, you know, something good to happen. And, you know, when it did, you know, that I knew that as soon as that quote unquote balloon was popped. You know, it was just going to keep going crazy the whole game.
For as much credit as you and the offense are getting, I think the defense arguably deserves more for all those three and outs. You're on this epic run offensively. Your defense goes out, completely makes adjustments, and they keep flipping it three and out, three and out, three and out. How much credit do they deserve for that epic second half and helping you get back in this game?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. They deserve all the credit. Obviously, we have to score some points and help them out, but they didn't let them score. They gave us a fighting chance. They're the ones that put us in position to go get a win. So they deserve all the credit. And I said that. It's funny. I was just talking about that. I said, for as much credit as our offense gets and, as much blame as some people try and put on our defense, man, they won the game for us yesterday. So, I'm glad that we're able to talk about that because, our defense, if you really look at it, when we need plays, they make the plays. And so there's no doubt in our locker room that they're a great defense and that we believe in them.
Well, you'll love this. I'm sitting with the legends during the game, and it was Atkinson, Biletnikoff, Casper, Willie Brown, and this is developing with the owner. And as this comeback is coming, these great players that you looked up to were roaring on their feet, and the fans below were going crazy. I really think, and we've talked about this, Derek, a bunch this year, you're having all these emotional moments, captain comeback, all your individual achievements, but the fact that you're feeling the energy coming from this fan base and the roar of the crowd, but still locking in. It's interesting for you. You can feel it and sense it, but you got to go out there and make another play to try to win this game late.
That's right. It definitely takes a lot of focus and those things and a lot of deep breaths, to make sure that we still, execute at a high level. But you can definitely feel the energy in the stadium. Our fans here in Oakland are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. I love them to death. And, especially all the people that fly out to our games. I know there's a mass of people that fly from L.A. to our games, that are Raider Nation fans. So, like I said, Raider Nation is everywhere. And when Sundays come in the black hole, there's nothing like it. And like you said, you could feel the energy. You could feel it. And so when Raider Nation is going, I told you, man, there's nothing like it.
Wrapping it up with Derek Carr. Okay, so I'm looking at this game and the outcome of it and all this MVP talk, and I know what you're going to say, and you avoid this, but it's now coming in waves, and it started here at 95.7 The Game, the hashtag Carr number 4 MVP, and watching the other games and looking at stats, that's what fans do. I know you don't do that, but what are you going to do here? Everybody's talking about you as the MVP. What would you like to say about that on the record?
Man, to be honest, I would, we have a long way to go. Obviously, we all know that. We still have a quarter of the season to play. But I'm very honored. I'm very thankful for where we're at. It just shows that our team is winning. I'm okay with people talking about it. I'm okay with, people wanting to, throw a vote or two this way because of the fact that they're talking about the Raiders. And that's, that's why Khalil and I, put our heads together with our rookie class and said, let's change the culture. We want people to talk about our team in these kind of ways, there's no selfishness on this team. I can tell you that there's no selfishness. There's no arrogance. It's a bunch of humble guys that love playing for each other. When individual things come, that just means that our team is doing well. And that's what fires me up.
Short week, Kansas City with Houston back. They look like they are a beast. And I know personally, this is a team that you want to compete against as hard as any other team in the NFL because of the past and the fact that you are just a guy that loves a quality opponent and especially a rival. Short week, how do you turn this around quickly? Kansas City's in a short week too. How do you go into Arrowhead and get the victory?
It's nice, obviously, it being a division game. You're familiar with personnel. That's usually a big thing. You want to know the personnel, and when you play a new team, you really don't know them. So it's nice that it's a division game. That way you know personnel. You know basically what their scheme is, obviously. Obviously, Coach Sutton is going to have his wrinkles and things like that. But, you just get prepared the way you do for any other game. But you just got to cram it into, 3 or 4 days worth of film. So, it's a different process, but it's something that we've done before. It's something, obviously, that a lot of us are used to. So we just got to get ready the same way that we always do. In our process, we know it works. And as long as we know it works and we believe it, we just got to go out there and play. Yes, they're a great football team. Yes, we have respect for them. But we fear nobody. We're going to go out there and compete, and it's going to be a great game come Thursday night.
Derek, we have to end on a somber note because the death toll rises in the Oakland warehouse fire. You saw the tribute before the game. You see police officers, first responders, fire and rescue there. What message do you have to the families that are grieving for the lost souls so far and all the people working around the clock to try to, at least bring some calm to other family members who are at this point in time really suffering?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no words, that we could ever use or say that's going to, truly make them feel better or bring somebody back. But I would just love for the city of Oakland to come together, man, and just show these families love. You know, we've all probably been somewhere where we've lost somebody, and we know the pain that that feels like. And so I just pray that the city of Oakland just comes together and serves them and just loves them, you know, the way that I know that we can, you know, the way that I know that, you know, our city can. So, I know when I found out, I didn't even understand what was going on, but I started praying immediately. You know, I really did, just for peace over those families, and comfort for them. So, I pray for them. You know, I try and send, my best wishes to them. And, if anyone knows those families, I just pray that, if you ever come in contact with them, just show them love, man. Just give them a hug and let them know that they're loved and that, we have their back.
We know that the A's, along with the Warriors and the Raiders, are doing a lot to try to not only donate money, but to help those families along the way. If you decide to do more, if the team does more, please reach back out to us so we can help at any level we can. Derek, big game, epic win. Good luck in Kansas City, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much.